friends and brothers, this is Justin Jones of the Masonic Improvement Movement, and I'm joined with my co-host, right worshipful, Dennis Yates. Hello, Dennis.
Hello, Justin. Glad to see you this evening.
Yes. Yes, how splendid that we meet again.
So tonight, brothers, friends and brothers, we're going to talk about the old bait and switch. How many times, Justin, have you, you know, talked to brothers that said that their experience was nothing that they expected when they joined?
The majority of the interviews that we've had, there have been a few exceptions, yeah, but the majority have not experienced what they thought they were going into.
Yeah,
so we're gonna talk a bit about that, about the old bait switch, like you said. Before we really get rolling into that, I just want to be completely upfront with all the viewers and all the listeners. If you are not a member of Masonic Improvement, meaning you are not subscribing to the monthly memberships on YouTube, then the version that you are listening to, the free version with ads, is going to be the abridged version of the full conversation that we're having. And there's already a few videos that are for members only that are completely exclusive. And that is what you'll probably continue to see. We will continue to put out content, and you can still continue to watch it 100% for free if you like to. But the heart and soul, the bulk of the best content, right, is going to still end up being for members. And so that's just our way of, and it's all ad free and things like that. So that's just a way of saying thank you for those that choose to support the Masonic Improvement Movement. From all the conversations that we had, and I know this is a little bit unrealistic, but hear me out. From all the conversations that we've had, a huge majority of the people that have joined because they've done research or because they've seen popular media or something like that,
right,
they had these really marvelous expectations. Specifically, if you look at like National Treasure, right? Yeah, that was the big drive. Well, Jesus, almost been 20 years now. When I first came in, that was the big drive, but it was still a huge drive for a lot of people. Like, they'll still watch it, and they'll be like, well, Freemasonry is pretty cool, right? And of course, the Freemasonry portrayed in National Treasure is nothing like the Freemasonry we have today. I would argue that maybe at one point it was more closely like that.
I would have to say that there was a time when that was a regular occurrence,
yeah,
as far as connectivity and influence in.
Yeah. So these people join with these really high expectations of the fraternity. And it goes back to this duality concept. And this is something that was taught to me in college. It is the marvelous versus the mundane. It's just two extremes, one way or the other. And
right,
people expect something marvelous. But what we're delivering in many cases is in fact very mundane. And you can say, well, what about the degrees and the work and everything like that? That's not mundane. Well, it's definitely unusual. And not, I don't mean that in a negative way. It's not something you encounter every day, right?
It's something that we have that nobody has.
But But just because it's unique,
it's doesn't mean it's
not mundane.
Yeah, it's mysterious, but it's not. There's no mystique to it.
Yes.
So that's the thing, and you know, I would even venture to say,
but there is no mystery in Freemasonry now. You can't even receive the mysteries anymore.
Well, and I'd like to make the point that the lodges that are growing right now in Texas Freemasonry are the lodges that are that have that spark, that mm-hmm. thing, that mystique that the others are missing. You know, and it's proven that in the data that there are certain lodges that are basically carrying the weight of Texas as far as new membership and what's happening in Texas. And those lodges are doing it. They're not playing around with what we did in the 80s. That's for sure.
So that said, let's talk about some of the practices that we have observed or have heard about.
Before we do that, I'd like to talk about the biggest thing that bothers me when I go into a lodge and I've seen it in my own lodge. There's those few members that they just don't know how to hold their tongue, and they're saying swear words. They're, you know, making crude remarks that really are borderline bigotry and racist. And, you know, that's just not acceptable. That's not okay in Freemasonry.
I don't see
I see it in some places and some places not. And,
some people.
Right. But that's the thing is that it only takes one person to turn off 10 people from coming to that lodge or going to that other appendant body or whatever.
Well,
it doesn't take much
for what
because that, that one person saying those things are usually the loudest person in the room.
So it was a brother exactly like what you're describing, and within 5 minutes of meeting him you'll immediately know that he's racist. He is still an active Freemason, not active, but he is still a Freemason. And his lodge demise, his lodge merged, probably because he kept running people off with his big racist mouth. But
I wouldn't say that people are necessarily so much even racist, but just saying racy remarks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know that these brothers aren't necessarily racist per se, but I don't know that, but I've seen them visiting with other brothers, and it's just the things that, you know, I used to say that I come from a long line of trailer trash, so I'm allowed to talk bad about anybody I want to. And that's just not okay. And I no longer say that. I no longer feel that way. I am an evolved species, and I should present myself as such. So the very first thing is how we carry ourselves within the lodge.
Mm-hmm.
That's in my opinion, that's the very first thing. And we don't have to be all prim and proper with our pinkies up or anything like that, but we do need to speak intelligently and clearly and not loudly, you know, speak normal to people.
Racism aside, which like I said, I haven't encountered
Racism aside.
I can't tell you how many times I've gone to a meeting that I look forward to, right? Expecting to maybe learn something or just have some good fellowship, if nothing else. And it's like you're talking about, just complaining, fart jokes, just
yeah.
It's like no one even wants to be there. It's all very I came here wanting something up here, a conversation right. like this, and everything's down here, right? Just right there.
Right.
And it's very disappointing, especially as a new Mason, right? Like you're a new Mason, you just got your EA and you're ready to go lodge and start learning some things, and everything's just right there. Just like right there at the very bottom. And you're wanting to learn things, to dive into.
Just enough to be called a Mason, just enough to wear the apron, but not enough to truly represent yourself as a master mason, in my opinion.
And
go ahead.
I was going to say, that was one of the things that I really wanted to touch on, is particularly for brothers that are about to get their degrees. And this is something I think we'll revisit several times, is a degree is supposed to be a special night, right? But anyway, so this guy comes in, and say he's a petitioner, right? He's going to get his EA degree.
Right.
And we tell him it's special. And everyone comes in just wearing whatever, just
yes,
wearing whatever. And the conversations are, and I say it all the time, joking about the goat, bunch of like loud cussing and stuff like that. Just basic stuff.
Bad jokes.
You go in for the meal, and it's like a hot dog and chips or something. And you go in, and no one really knows really what they're doing. They put, you get ready, and you go through your degree, and you don't really know what's going on, right? And you don't know what they're supposed to be saying or anything like that, but you can tell something's off because
all the pauses,
all those strange pauses, kind of the whispering that you might hear. Right.
And especially when somebody's in the corner telling everybody what to say, and not even giving them an opportunity to do the proper work.
And then you look around, and everyone's looking at their phones and.
Wah, wah, wah.
It's like, they're just these are all things that it's a laundry list that I just gave everybody. These are all things that need to be addressed, because each of them contributes to I don't know how to really say it. It just brings down the vibe, each one of these things, until it's just nothing special at all. It's so
well, yeah. And let me take that a little bit deeper. So that vibe that you're talking about in Freemasonry is the light. The light is the energy of within. That spark, that thing that not only drives us but inspires us. And when that energy is deflated, depressed, then the lodge is not bestowing all the light that they should be. And now we only say that we're going to give as much as we can, as the lodge can give, but we should be doing better.
Well, some lodges can't give much at all.
Right.
It ties back. And I talked about this at MasonicCon when I gave the presentation on rites of passage. If you do a rite, because the degrees are rites of passage.
Right.
And just conferring a rite of passage doesn't necessarily create any change. If you do it halfway, and if you don't take it seriously, then the initiate will not take it seriously, and it will not convey what was intended with the rite of passage. If that makes
sense. And even with that, I would say that if you're doing one thing in the lodge, I know some brothers that are excellent people on the work. They can do it well. They can enunciate when they need to. It's just really a really spectacular degree. But when those same brothers are outside of the lodge, not representing what they just did inside of the lodge, then something's wrong.
Yeah.
There's a balance that is not being upheld with the ebb and flow of life when that happens, and it distorts the energy, the feel of the lodge.
So I mean
to your point, it's outside as well.
So all that said, I guess the first thing I would really point out as far as removing that whole bait and switch where you're delivering something other than what you promised would be to be very mindful when you have petitioners or people going through degrees in your lodge. And really, you should be mindful the whole time you're in the lodge.
I was gonna say that's you know, the
best practice, right? But we're all guilty of lowering our guard a little bit. Like,
right,
if it's just me
right.
and one or two guys in the secretary's office working on something. Yeah.
We cut up,
right? But when you're there for something special, you need to have a little bit more respect and be a little more solemn.
And even if it's as mundane as the monthly meeting, that's still an important event that has to take place, and we should treat it with the respect that it deserves.
Yeah. Since we started looking at this from like an ideal perspective, let's just see it through. Okay. So we're looking at first impressions. When the petitioner comes into, and we're just starting with the EA because it's, let's just follow that through too.
Right.
When he comes into the lodge, one of two things are going to happen. He's either going to be impressed or he's going to be disappointed.
Right.
Right. And because they expect something, it goes back to that high expectation. And if you're not delivering, then they're going to be disappointed. Now, right. I'm not saying that every lodge needs to look like a Scottish Rite temple or like the Fort Worth temple or something. It doesn't have to be huge and grand, but it does need to be nice and impressive
and clean.
Yes. And yes. There you can do a lot with a small building if you are creative and you're not afraid to spend money. You can do a lot with a small building.
And Hillcrest
doesn't have a huge building, but they have a beautiful lodge, probably the most beautiful lodge I've seen. And it rivals huge buildings. You could do a lot if you spend the money.
That's a success story of lodges merging and you know, using the funds of one lodge to make the other lodge what everybody was looking for in the first place.
Yeah.
And they'll even tell you it took time to do that. It took years. It wasn't just an overnight thing. You know, that's something pretty cool about Goliad that I like is that, you know, you go into Goliad and looks pretty average downstairs. But you go up into the lodge room.
That's what boom. She said.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're immature,
and
Dennis.
And you people paid extra. Yeah. I hope this goes on the free content because you know it's just yeah, that does not deserve to be paid.
Yeah. Well, hey, you set the stage. I just walked out on it. Set my line.
Yeah. Yeah. But you just walked out on the plank.
You're absolutely right. And the thing is, like, so many, and it's not just, I mean, this is really almost deserving of its own episode because really what you have with a lot of lodges, most buildings probably built in the 50s or 60s, right? And yeah. And we have been riding on the coattails of the success of previous generations
right.
for a very long time. And as far as maintenance and upgrading and just general.
Well, we haven't charged enough in our dues to pay for that stuff. Mm-hmm. And so we've let it slide.
And now it's a can that's been kicked down the road. And here's the thing. The can's been kicked down the road because someone has always hoped that someone down the road would take the initiative, right? Stop doing that. Be that person. Be that generation of Masons that says, look, the can stops here. We're not going to kick it any further. Let's fix it. We need to fix it. And for some lodges, it's a way bigger hurdle than other lodges. But my point is, do the maintenance. Get it fixed up. If you got something leaking, if you got tiles that keep turning brown for whatever reason, fix the problem. Replace the tile. Make your floor look nice. I mean, if you have to retile the floor, whatever you have to do.
And if you try to carpet out. Yeah. We've personally done that. And if you try to do it and are not successful, hire somebody. Stop messing around. Stop continuously patching stuff. You know, it's almost like when you go into a restaurant and you go into a bathroom and you see a pair of pliers on the you know, bathroom faucet. Do you really want to eat at that restaurant? Are they really taking care of? Do you really think they clean that stove and oven every night, or that griddle every night? No, probably not. You know, they're just doing the bare minimum to get by. Yeah. And, you know, it's the same way. And we're selling a product. You know, whether you want to believe it or not, yeah, we've got a product that nobody else has and people want it. But then we don't deliver on that product and people leave.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the we're talking about people right now, but I think that's the kind of person a lodge should be, the kind of organization that it makes the money and it pays someone to do it. And they may or may not be a Mason, and they may or may not be a member of that lodge, but you pay whoever can do the best job.
Right. That's the important thing, is doing the best job. Even if it is a brother in the lodge, if they can do the better job than somebody else. I mean, we have some real artists in Freemasonry, and they can do some bang up stuff.
To be frank, I've seen lodges give jobs to Masons that they probably weren't the best choice, and the lodge suffered for it. Often because the guy's a Mason, he's like, well, the lodge will be, it's kind of like doing business with your family. Like, yeah, you kind of put them on the back burner. They're going to be more forgiving if you take longer, right? And that's exactly what I saw. Like, so when it was, I think it was air conditioning in summer in Texas, and they took way longer than they probably should have to get around to fixing it, because I guess they assumed the lodge would just forgive them.
Right.
So you they don't necessarily have to be a Mason, and they don't necessarily have to be a member of the lodge. Just whoever you know.
And I've seen the same thing. And I wouldn't say that it's in my lodge per se, but I've seen the same thing where, you know, you're depending on somebody to get something done and it doesn't get done. And, you know, that's in all areas of business, not just taking care of the lodge. You know, that happens with, you know, our other commitments within Freemasonry. And, you know, I fall short myself. You know, we all do at some point. Mm-hmm. We want to do the very best that we can for everybody, especially when you have you care so much about Freemasonry, and sometimes you get overextended, and then you realize, well, yeah, I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah. All right. So we have the petitioner, and he has come into the lodge. He came into the lodge when the lodge was already opened, and he's not in the lodge room, but he went to where he's supposed to go. And when he came in, we had a nice, clean lodge, updated as best as possible. What was probably the next most important thing? Now that he has had a good, favorable impression of the building and is in the anteroom.
Oh man, the anteroom needs to be clean.
I almost regret saying that, because the anteroom is its own thing.
I know. It's not a storage closet.
I will say officially that the law book is very specific about what should be in
the anteroom.
And it's pretty stern about nothing else but what they said should be allowed. Granted, I've seen lots of ante rooms with coat racks and computers from the 90s and just OES stuff and mop buckets. And no one ever
fluorescent light bulbs leaning against the wall.
And I've never heard any complaints about that, but I think if you start getting a little too esoteric, that might be a problem, which is probably a problem in itself that would be a problem and not the mop. That's a totally different conversation. So this guy, he's in the anteroom. The master ceremony should have done his job, right? And if you don't know what that is, grab a monitor. And the impression there should be favorable as well. It should be a nice, clean, organized room. It should be painted appropriately. And, I mean, it shouldn't look like you just grabbed the first closet you found and put them in it.
Right.
It needs to look like this is for this purpose and it's intentional.
You know, what's interesting is that there's some lodges that have, you know, you have your seat and then there's a desk there with a place for you to put your keys and your mm-hmm. wallet and all that kind of stuff, place to put your jewelry, an actual jewelry holding type deal. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's kind of cool that they do that and make it look like, you know, a nice changing room.
Well, really. I think that as well as a place for him to hang his jacket, assuming he dressed like he probably should have.
Absolutely.
For his shoes and you know, just whatever else that might be nice that he might not want to get scuffed up or wrinkled or anything like that, right?
Right.
Be intentional. Be intentional with the design, but definitely don't go against anything that's in the law book about what should be in that thing.
Right, right.
So he is in the degree, and I'll go ahead and say this. I think it should probably be a no-brainer, but his degree needs to be good. It needs to be a good degree.
Oh, absolutely.
And what does that mean?
You should have people that practice regularly.
Practice regularly. Quality props, if you use props. If you use costumes, I think that's great. Quality costumes, that's fine.
They need to be clean. They need to be nice, not tattered. You know, just having something to have it doesn't make it.
Yep. And the thing is, like, even if you practice daily, you're going to mess up something in the degree. Someone right. at some point is going to mess something up.
Shut up, Pastmaster.
Yeah, I think it's important, regardless of who makes the mistake. It's just like a play, right? If you go to a play and it's a well-practiced play, if someone skips a line or gets it wrong, you move on, right?
Exactly.
That doesn't mean you stop everything you're doing and whisper loudly that he forgot a sentence, which the initiate is probably not going to remember anyway.
Right.
If you forget an entire...
He's not learning anything from that experience except, mm-mm. you know, bits and pieces.
And I think it's...
To put the emphasis on something that was wrong is not what you want to do.
And you make a very good point. He's actually not learning anything in that degree. Not at that time. Right.
Yeah, he's just experiencing it. So
there's no experience.
Reason, yeah. So there's no reason to ruin that experience because you think that every word should be picture perfect. And granted, you should be good at the degree. Yeah. I am wholeheartedly believe that you should care about the work enough to put on the best degree you can.
Yeah.
But at the same time, just like Justin said, you know, it's just like a play, you know, the show must go on.
Yeah. All right. So he has had a good degree. I would say, since we're talking ideals, and we'll go back, we'll say, hey, this has been an EA degree, ideals. I would also say that I'll just be frank. I think it's probably the first time that he should ever have seen the lodge is during the degree.
That's right.
Just, we're talking ideals. And granted, like there's, you could find pictures, you can find videos of lodge rooms. Open houses have been a thing. I mean, you could probably look through some model stuff. There's lodge stuff in there. Lodge rooms. But moving forward, we should probably.
In reality, think about why they had the lodge room upstairs.
Yeah.
Why?
Think about the catechism. Like, it makes no sense if you have seen the lodge before you go through your degree at some points. So right. I think it's probably important. But anyway, that aside, so all that is said and done, he needs to be treated to a good meal. And it should be on the brothers or covered with his degree fee, right? But he should be treated to a really good meal with the brothers.
Right.
And that means that don't run home as soon as the degree's over.
And then you can actually discuss what just happened.
You talk about what just happened.
Let them ask those questions.
Have a presentation
like a Masonic presentation just to kind of
yes.
wet his whistle. I mean, granted, I mean, he hasn't really been exposed to a lot that night, so why not throw more on his plate? But,
right.
But, you know, just to kind of show him, like, the, just give him like the variety pack of Freemasonry, right? So he right. sees, he sees a little bit of everything that night. And then,
yeah,
and
that's,
then
after, that's a good idea.
And then after the meal, whoever picked him up takes him home. At this point, let's go into parting thoughts.
So you want me to give my parting thoughts first?
Yeah.
Interesting. So first and foremost, I'd like to say that with the, in regards to how we carry ourselves in the lodge, you know, that I wasn't speaking to lowbrow any person in general, unless you're that person and you take it that way, maybe you ought to think about how you're treating people in your lodge and in your district and in the fraternity. You know, brotherly love and affection is a true thing that we should be.
Do you want me to tag somebody in this video?
No.
It feels very specific.
Well, no, it's not, because I've seen it so many times in so many different areas, and not just in Blue Lodge, but in appendant bodies as well. And, you know, I see it mostly in lodges that are suffering and places that they're actually going downhill, because somebody goes in and feels like they're going in to fix it or save it. And really it's not for them to save or fix. They're just another member. And you just do your best and try to be your best so that you're the best representative of what Freemasonry really is. Because you can invite, or not even invite, but you can have as many new members come in because of the things that you do or what have you. But if you're turning off 20 times that by acting a fool, then, you know,
Any of them, you're just throwing away the secrets.
Right.
So my final thoughts, these are all initial videos. So if you haven't watched the previous one, let me see what it's called, actually. If you haven't watched a previous video, where's it at? The members only version, best practices for Masonic leadership with Dennis Yates. Watch that first, because Dennis just goes over just very general best practices. This one's kind of a follow-up. So now that we've talked about the officers, we're talking about the lodge itself. What is a
right.
lodge?
Right.
And this is just looking from the initiate's perspective as they're coming in. Are we delivering what we promise, or are we not? If we're not, what can we do? These are just suggestions. But then again, it goes back to what I was saying. They've been tested. There's a reason. There's a reason for it, right? I'm not being specific, and Dennis will probably do his own video about how they do things in Mexico, but certain jurisdictions do things a certain way, and they have done it for a very long time with great effectiveness. There's a reason they continue to do it that way. And what we should be doing is looking at successful lodges, successful jurisdictions, dare I say, and say, this is what they're doing that works. We should probably copy that and emulate it.
Yes, absolutely.
That's just what I'm saying. But other than that, like I said, and I said this at the beginning, if you're listening to the ad version, you get in the short and sweet version. You don't get all the inside jokes, you're not going to hear about the roses Dennis makes. But if you are a member, you get the full deal. You get everything, better or worse.
And I'm sorry that you have to get it the way you got it. Oh my goodness.
But that said, it's about providing value, right? If you find value in the content, we'll provide more value if you want to become a member.
Right. And that's, and we're trying to do the same thing that we should be doing in the lodges. You know, we're trying to create value. You know, we all get into this for a certain reason. You're listening to us for a certain reason. You feel like we're bringing value to your Freemason. Mm-hmm. And hopefully we are still. And if we start to falter, man, let us know.
Yeah.
If we're going down a wrong path, then we need to know.
Yeah.
But right now, it's all been positive, and people are coming on every week. You know, we're getting 100 new people every week coming mm-hmm. on the show, and it's great. So,
but it's important to point out that I think as Masons, we're always a little suspicious when someone's selling things or offering something. This is right. This is not to. Let's be honest. Masonic Aprima is never going to make neither one of us rich. That's not what this is about. Not at all. If you buy a piece of merchandise, you're helping to grow Masonic Aprima. If you become a member, you're getting more value, but you are helping to grow Masonic Aprima. All the money Masonic Aprima makes goes back at the Masonic Aprima. So, if you find value in the messages, if you think what we're doing is worthwhile, please support it. Just however you can, right?
Well,
the membership structure is not expensive, at least not at the first two levels. It's just saying, I think what you're doing is good. Here's a few bucks to help you continue what you're doing. What are you gonna say?
And even beyond that, not only does it help the show itself, but like we're instituting a Masonic improvement movement where we are going to have festive boards, education and festive boards that we're going to be taking to different areas
mm-hmm.
in Texas to begin with. And then further out as we grow.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what this supports is so that we can come see you in person. We can go through, you know, have these discussions one-on-one, or actually 100-on-1. we'll have these discussions and have the Freemasonry that we always talk about, these experiences that we talk about, we're going to bring them to you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the bottom line, is we're trying to add value to your Freemasonry as well as our own in doing these things. We're not trying to get rich. We're just trying to add value to our Freemasonry.
Yeah. Yeah. And spot on, absolutely. So I mean, we still have lots of ideas in the works. We're still working to expand Masonic Improvement into because ultimately, I think Masonic Improvement is having a positive impact on Freemasonry, and as we all know, Freemasonry itself has a positive impact on the world. So help support, make the world a better place by supporting Masonic Improvement.
Well, we should be, yes. Our lodges should represent what we're looking for in our world around us.
Yeah.
So however we think the world should be, we should be showing that in the lodge first, because the external reflects the internal. Always.
True that. True that.
Psychology 101.
Yeah.
The external reflects the internal.
So all of that said, thank you, Dennis, for taking time out of your evening to hop on the show. I look forward to seeing you this Friday in Corpus. Right? I guess
yes.
I'll meet you at the hot tub.
Yes, and we're gonna partake in a master's degree on the USS Lexington.
Oh, we will.
Man, partake. What an awesome event. I love that event.
We will.
One
partake.
Of my favorite things to do. And then afterwards, we're going to partake in some libations and talk with some brothers and talk Freemasonry.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time. It's going to be a great time. I haven't seen the Lexington degree, so that's going to be fun.
Yeah, it's a cool experience.
Nice. All right, man. Well, thanks again for coming on to the show. You've always been a great guest. I think I might make you permanent at some point. Thank you again for the listeners for taking time out of your day and participating in the Masonic Improvement Movement. That said, I'm signing out.
Peace.
Keep it between the points, brothers.
Ah, there you go.
I'm finally getting it.